Welcome back to the Tom Vino Show. I'm Dan Allstrand. Glad you're with us on this beautiful Sunday morning. Earlier this week, the province released, I don't even know what to call it. We were hoping for a database of lead testing in all of the schools, not elementary schools, but schools in Halifax and across the province. But what we got was a whole bunch of PDF files that, to be quite honest, as I tried to wade my way through them, they were not easy to dig the information out. But the information is out there, and nearly every single, this is from the Global News website, by the way, nearly every single public school in the Halifax Regional Centre for Education has too much lead in its drinking water, according to that data that was released by the provincial government this week. Of the region's 141 schools, 87%, or 123 of them, had unsafe levels of lead flowing from at least one tap, with levels sometimes as high as 1,880 times above Health Canada's legal limit. Lead, of course, is a dangerous neurotoxin linked to lower IQ, developmental disorders, and ADHD in young developing brains. While experts agree there is no safe limit for consumption, the federal government lists 5 parts per billion as the maximum allowable concentration. Please welcome to the program from the NDP, Claudia Chender. Claudia, how are you this morning?
I'm fine, Dan. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
What was your thoughts when the Minister of Education released this data on lead levels in school?
Well, it's really troubling. I guess I should start by saying that thanks to, you know, a number of reporters who embarked on an FOI, we knew that this was an issue to begin with. And subsequent to this issue being flagged about a year ago, most schools in the province, I'm told, did have water being brought in. So luckily, there's been some Band-Aid solution. But it's very troubling. It's very troubling that we don't know what the historic testing is for many of these schools, particularly in urban areas. And, you know, as a mom with 3 kids in school, a school where the drinking fountains have been taped off for a year now, it definitely makes you very concerned. And we want to know what's going to be done. So all we've been told so far is not to be alarmist. But we don't understand what the remediation will be. And, you know, the current setup of water coolers in the hallways is better than nothing, but I hear from lots of kids and teachers that it's definitely not ideal, particularly right now with all of the public health requirements that we're trying to meet.
They took our water cooler away here because it was a high touch area. So
exactly,
you know, do we have enough of them? And that's one of the questions. One of the other questions that at least that I have with regards to this is those lead pipes, they didn't just put them in the ground. They've been there for, you know, a long time. And how long and for how many years, years and years, have people that have gone through the school system in the province been drinking this contaminated water?
Well, that's the concern. And I think that's the question that we really still don't have an answer for. I think the excuse for not testing the schools on municipal water, which is, a number of the schools, almost all of which, as you said, in off the top there, have tested with lead above the allowable limit. The excuse was that there's municipal water testing, but, you know, really we know that we need point of source testing to understand what's going into people's bodies, kids' bodies, and that point of source testing has revealed a really different story, and we don't know how long that situation has been like that, because as far as we understand, there hasn't been regular testing of a lot of these facilities. But what we do know is that there is a lot of deferred maintenance on schools. So, you know, in plain language, we're not doing the repairs we need to do, and we're not keeping our schools up the way we need to. And that's a problem. So I think we need to really look at school capital and how we pay attention to the buildings and systems that serve our kids and to make sure they're safe. And clearly we have not been doing a good enough job of that. And we haven't heard a good explanation of how that's going to change going forward.
Claudia, what's the solution in here? Is it that we just start ripping pipes out like today and get it done, or not making an excuse for the government here, but we do realize mm-hmm. the financial situation that they're in dealing mm-hmm. with the COVID-19 outbreak.
Well, I mean, I suspect the solution is complicated, and it probably depends on the school. So, you know, I understand that for an older school, perhaps one that's slated for replacement sometime in the next few years, it may not make financial sense to do that. But we need to see a plan, period, is my own sense. And then we can evaluate the merits of it. So, you know, if it's going to be that water is going to continue to be brought in to several schools, we need to know that there's enough water. I hear, you know, most kids and teachers I talk to say that that water in the coolers is being rationed, which, you know, kids aren't going thirsty. They're bringing water bottles from home and they're drinking them. But, you know, we're entering cold and flu season. We want our kids to stay healthy. As you said, those coolers are a high touch area. We want to make sure that there's enough potable water in the school, you know, that supplying that water isn't unduly, you know, having a huge extra workload for the folks in that school, and that kids can access it. So we need to understand that, you know, as a first step. And then as a second step, yeah, we need to understand what will be done, because, you know, for instance, heard of schools in Scottsburn and Pictou County where they've had bottled water on and off for 25 years, and there's just no excuse for that. So we need a long-term solution, and we need to know that government is looking towards that long-term solution. And, you know, I should say that after this government dissolved the school boards a couple of years ago, which, you know, they're still blaming things on like this, in my view, quite unfairly, they came up with a capital plan process. So when new schools are going to be built or renovated and how, that's very opaque. So there's not really any community or school input anymore on school renovations and replacements and where they go. You know, and this further adds to the challenges of a situation like that, because, you know, this is a public health issue, and it's an issue that impacts families. And, you know, if there are lead pipes in schools or in the fixtures and there's a huge remediation cost, then I think there should be a conversation about how to fix that. So, you know, I think that there are folks better positioned than myself in transportation and infrastructure renewal and the Department of Education who can make that evaluation of how best to address this problem. But so far, we haven't really heard anything other than don't panic. And so, I mean, I'm not panicking, but I want to hear a plan.
Fair enough. Now, this is not exclusive to Nova Scotia. Some of that reporting that was done on that showed that there was lead levels in schools right across the country. Do you think mm-hmm. that the federal government has a role to play in this, or is this going to need to be a purely made in Nova Scotia solution?
Well, you know, I suspect it depends on the breadth of the problem. You know, we have some sense that the federal government releasing those updated guidelines in March of 2019 around that allowable limit of 5 parts per billion was the kind of trigger for a lot of these investigations and conversations that have ultimately revealed this. So certainly, you know, I think when you're talking about massive infrastructure projects like this, that's a conversation to have. But ultimately, you know, we trust our provincial government to ensure that our kids are safe. You know, they provide education and they own these buildings and they build these buildings. And so, you know, they're responsible for maintaining them. And we want to make sure that that happens.
Do you think that this would ever come to light without that? You mentioned off the top that this came through a group of journalists doing a Freedom of Information request. Do you think that if this would have come out without them doing that?
You know, I think it's entirely possible that it wouldn't have. And as you said, you know, even after that, we were promised a database and we got a dump of a bunch of PDFs that are almost impossible to search. You know, we have a government right now that likes to talk about how transparent and open they are. But time and time and time again, when we have simple requests for information and really important information like this around our healthcare, we have a really hard time getting it. And so, you know, again, you know, my hat's off to those journalists who kind of followed the story. And I don't know if we would have or not, but this reliance on the FOI process, the Freedom of Information process, to get basic information that I think all Nova Scotians would agree that we're entitled to, you know, particularly families. I have, you know, my kids are young, they're under 10, and at this point, it seems as though they've been ingesting lead for a few years of their life. That's terribly worrisome. And that's information we should have. So how it got here is, how we got to it is not the best. It's a little questionable, but, you know, I think we're really calling on the government going forward to take this issue seriously, to ensure that we have the information we need and a plan to fix it.
Claudia, appreciate your time on this Sunday.
Okay, thanks so much.
That's Claudia Chender with the NDP. On Thursday, by the way, the education minister, after cabinet, there's a big news conference that happens. Well, it's not really a news conference. It's more of a media scrum that happens on Thursdays after the provincial cabinet meets. All the ministers kind of appear before the cameras and the microphones and get asked a bunch of questions. He did address this on Thursday and did say that there's no need for parents to be alarmed as safe drinking water is being provided to kids at every school. So it's not like this has been addressed and they're just letting it go. There are, as Claudia said, there are water coolers and there are things available for kids to use. But on the other side of that, with the whole high touch point, and I know that taps where these kids would have been getting their, and water fountains where they would have been getting their water from, our high touches anyway, but there was more of them spread throughout the school. So I hope that the provincial government has addressed that and has enough of them. So A, that that every child at school has access to that to all the water that they want. The part that concerns me is that, as I mentioned earlier, these pipes just didn't get put in the ground yesterday. These pipes have been at some of these schools for many, many, many years, and many generations of students that have come through the education system in Nova Scotia have been drinking this water before it was before it came to light. Now, I understand that the testing levels changed. The federal government changed made the parts per million number more strict, and that's sort of what has kicked this off. But still, lead is never good, and you know, maybe I was drinking lead in school back more than 5 years ago when I was in school. When I come back, a family getting evicted because they complained to the bylaw officers as opposed to their landlords. We'll get to the bottom of that when we return. This is the Todd Vino Show. I'm Dan Ahlstrand, and you're listening to News 95.7.